If you're just tuning in, this is the KHSU Magazine. I'm your host, Lorna Bryant. Joining me in the studio today are Charmaine Lawson, Pastor Phil Griggs, Elijah Chandler, and KT Thompson. Charmaine Lawson is the mother of David Josiah Lawson. Joining her is Pastor Phil Griggs, who is DJ's, as you call him, DJ's track coach. And Elijah is a student here. He is a geology major. KT Thompson is a criminal justice major. And they are Josiah's brothers in arms from Brothers United. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
So I'm looking to you, Charmaine. Tell me who your DJ is. Tell me about DJ.
DJ was a phenomenal son, a fantastic big brother to his brother Anthony and sister Chloe, a great grandson, nephew, just a loving person to everyone that came in contact with him. Everyone absolutely loved DJ. He always have a smile on his face. He's always warm, caring, compassionate, will give the shirt off his back to anyone that was in need of his assistance. And he's just incredible. He is just an incredible, amazing son.
Tell me about DJ the little boy.
Oh, DJ the little boy that loved candy.
What was his favorite candy?
Candy, Jelly Rancher.
What
Jelly
flavor? Rancher. Flavors?
The apple.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what he enjoyed. Growing up, DJ played soccer, t-ball. He was just energetic.
Okay.
You know, he was full of life. He didn't like staying inside. He loved to be outdoors, just running around. There's a pond not too far from where we live, and he would go with his brother, and they would dig shrimp out the pond, and like, hey, Mom, you know, can you cook this? Or just full of life.
Okay.
He was a great, an amazing kid.
Wait, digging for shrimp in Southern California?
In Southern California. I'm from Jamaica. We're island.
I hear it.
Yes, we're from the islands, and he loved going home to Jamaica because it's open space, and he can just run around and just... Okay. You know, just explore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming from Jamaica, the rich culture and food, what was his favorite food that you would prepare for him?
Curry goat.
I was going to ask you if he liked the curry goat.
Curry goat, okay. And rice and peas.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
When coming home from school, you know, he would let me know before he got home. Like, okay, tell Grandma I want some curry goat. Tell Grandpa I want jerk chicken. And they would make sure that all his favorite foods were available to him when he got home. Yeah.
Yep. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Griggs, you're the pastor of the Living Word Christian Church in Riverside. You were DJ's track coach.
Yeah, one of many. But DJ was just a phenomenal athlete, first of all. But wherever I was on the field, he'd find me. I didn't even know he knew I was out there. And whether I was working with him or not, he'd find me, come up to me, shake my hand, let me know. With DJ, was always the next step. This is what I'm doing. This is what's going on. Just a very, like she said, charismatic kid, you know, and was a good long jumper, you know. Was a long jump. He actually helped my son with his long jumping techniques, and he actually got better. DJ would just take that time, and my grandson, Caden, loved DJ.
Okay.
Because he would say, nobody has time for me, but DJ always has time for me.
Oh.
You know, because Caden is like the mascot. And
okay.
He's running around, and he's bugging everybody, and everybody's telling him to sit down, including me sometimes, Caden, but not DJ. DJ has that time for Kaden, and Kaden just thought DJ was the greatest. He wanted to wear his jeans like DJ. He wanted to wear his clothes like DJ, just to kind of give you an idea of who he was and the type of person he was. Just phenomenal.
So it sounds like DJ was a giant to Kaden. Talking about a child, looked like Josiah was pretty tall. So how tall exactly?
I want to say 6'1".
Okay.
What would you say, brothers?
I used to try to stand next to him on the low, because I'm about 6'2", 6'3". Yeah. So I was like, hold on. He might have been 6'3".
Clearly. Wow.
He was right there. Okay. Yeah. 6'2", 6'3".
Okay.
Okay. Elijah, I'm going to look to you. You said something a couple of days ago about Josiah being the president of BU. First, why don't you tell me what Brothers United is and what they represent?
So Brothers United is a club that was founded in order to create a sanctuary for not just people of color, but men that were growing into themselves in an unfamiliar place, didn't really have friends, didn't really know where they fit in or belong. And so we created this environment so that we could have that, we could build each other up, and make sure that someone was holding you accountable, whether it was grade, school, or social. Like, we just made sure that you were taken care of and you felt like you had a family, even though you were thousands of miles away from your family.
So how did you come to join Brothers United, KT?
It's actually him. I've been knowing Josiah for a while. We had a lot of things in common growing up that we never knew about each other. We went to the same elementary school in L.A. We both moved to Moreno Valley at the same time. Went to high school together. Unfortunately, I was always the bad seed, but he was always like the inspiration, like, you know, I want to be like Josiah, but, you know, I don't want to be like somebody. But Josiah, like as Elijah mentioned, he was the one. So it was like everything he did, whether you make him mad, you would never notice. He'd be like, are you upset? He'll do it with a smile on his face. It's like, you're unhappy, but you'll smile, man. And it's like, where do you get that ambition and power to do that? And I'm not even fully a member yet, but just like Elijah, because I hang out with him more than DJ, but me and DJ, we always had a plan. It was like, okay, we're going to run track together. We're going to play football together. We're going to be criminal justice majors. And choosing my school, I was like, I don't want to be up here, you know. I don't feel I fit in. Afterwards, she was like, hey, I don't fit in either, but I get a lot of love. And I came up here for a tour in the summer. And back home, you know, DJ is so happy that some people would say, man, it bugs to see how happy he is. It's like, not even annoying, but it bugs because we can't be that happy. So it was like when he was telling me about it, he was like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm the president, just like mom said. Boy, president of what? Just thinking about it. So he was like, you're not the president. So when I came up here for freshman, I still am a freshman fall term, he's like, join, you know, I'm going to be the president. And he had this ambition before he was even the president. So I was like, man, somebody so young and always, like Pastor said, having a plan, and I always write my plans down, and my thing is always dealing with, I like the way I look, I like being complimented and stuff. DJ too, he makes sure you recognize his fit or anything, but like his long-term goals, like since we're young, if I go back and remember it, he's always fulfilled them. Me, I was like, you know what, I said I was gonna do this when I was young, I want to do this now. But DJ, it was like every year it was a different goal, and he knocked them out back and forth. So that's pretty much why I came into a club, you know. So I felt that was like brotherhood from me and him personally. And then it was like, there's more of us, you know. There's 15 other brothers just like DJ. It's a place to be.
So, Elijah, tell me why he was selected as president. I remember you saying he was the best of all of you. Tell me why you said that.
Josiah was ahead of his time.
Right.
Josiah, he knew what he wanted, and he wasn't afraid to go out and get it. He always had his hand up first. He was always ready to go there. Like, everyone has these really happy memories of him, and he always made people smile. And when it comes to my relationship with Josiah, we never really had to even say anything to each other. We just kind of knew. Like, we knew we wanted to do things. We knew we wanted to make progress. And one of the last things me and him were working on is campus and university homelessness is a reality. And we were looking for a house, you know, Craigslist, wherever we can, so we can find 3-4 bedrooms, so we can have a place for our brothers to be there, so that you don't have to have that burden on your shoulders. We got you. And Josiah was always willing, ready, and pushing the train forward to make sure that these things happen. When other people were caught up in their own lives, he made sure that he made time to get the job done. And so when it was time to appoint a president, there was no hesitation.
Can I add on to that?
Sure.
Another thing, he's the only one who had the grades. I don't understand, man. He went out, look, me and Elijah, we have our fair share going out, but like school-wise, we get our work done and we spend more time than DJ ever did in the library or studying together. But he always had his work done. He can go and play Madden all day, can talk all day, go and help, like you said, go and help other people's own life situation, not even worried about it, don't have to know you. He'd help you and get it done. Hey, I was walking from Safeway, man, and he's like, hey, where you going? Afterwards, I'm like, I'm walking home. He was like, nah, don't do that. I was like, well, I'm gonna get on the bus. Nah, don't do that. So he made me go back to Safeway with him, and we got picked up by, I don't even know, one of his friends that just seen him on the street. I was like, man, if that was one of my friends, they would have kept going. They was like, why you walking, DJ? Get in the car. They was like, yeah, get in the car too. But yeah, he always had his grades right. And no matter how much time that, like, I don't even want to say he put in time, but that boy was a genius. He was smart, real genuine. So that was something about DJ. It's a talent.
Charmaine, would you consider your son an old soul? it sounds like it.
I mean, just listening to his friends, and we spent a couple hours last night with his brothers and them sharing their stories and their memories that they had with him. I would say so. You know, I look at him differently. He was my son. He was my baby. You know, he's my son and he's my baby. And
right.
But just how they describe him, how he was just so giving and, you know, always there for them. I mean, that's how he was at home too. But, you know, you raise him at home and you teach him certain values and, you know, to carry on. But when they're when they're away from you, you're hoping, you pray that those values that you instill, they still carry those values. And he did. He did. It did not change who he was. I think he came to Humble and just made a big difference. A big
Absolutely.
Difference. An impact yeah. on everyone's life. And I am just so thankful. That gives me some peace and give me strength knowing that he was so loved and they're remembering him for all the good things that he has done. You know, 19 years of life, he would have been 20 next month, and just everything that he accomplished, you know, all his accomplishments. I'm just so tremendously proud and honored to call DJ David Josiah Lawson my son.
Tell me about some of those accomplishments, some of those goals that, as KT said, he set out for himself as a young age that he did accomplish.
Yeah, he, I remember, you know, through maybe starting 10th grade, you know, I'm like, okay, DJ, I'm a single parent. We have to get, you're going to college. It's not up for discussion. You are going to college. And let's start working on scholarships. Scholarships took so much time to sit there and write and make sure that you get a response back. And he would write, letters, essays, stayed on top of his teachers to give that letter of recommendation, and he received scholarship from Delta Sigma Psi Phi, Lynx Incorporated, Bernard Park, who was the chief of police in Los Angeles. You know, just goals. You know, he wanted to play football. He tried out. He made the football team. He wanted to run track. He was qualified for the Junior Olympics for his high jump and triple jump. You know, so he set those goals for himself. His sister also run track, and we have a dirt road behind our neighborhood, and he would take her, and they would practice together. And he was just driven. He was driven, and he knew he was going to college, and he kept focus. He kept focus, and everything he was reaching for, he was able to accomplish. He was able to accomplish.
If you're just tuning in, this is an extended edition of the KHSU magazine. I am talking to friends and family of David Josiah Lawson. This program will air until it is time when the mother no longer wants to speak, and we will continue with regular programming after that. Pastor Griggs. Junior Olympics.
It's a big deal.
Junior Olympics.
It's a big deal because it's a big deal to qualify. First of all, you have your semifinal rounds. You have your quarter rounds, and you have your regional rounds. And then if you're lucky enough to be in that top six.
Not lucky. Talented.
Talented enough. So it just shows you the type of dedication, the type of work. It is work. And to be selected, I remember when David made it, the year he made it, actually my son didn't make it. And I'm talking to children on the sidelines crying. Mm-hmm. They've been working hard all year, but very humble. He made it, but his focus was helping my son get better. You can make it also, you can do it that coming year. But I want to say this, before we came over, I was talking to a young lady who worked at the hotel where we are, and she doesn't go to the college and was just deeply impacted by his life. Just as I talked to her, and she was beginning to express, how could someone get off, or how could this other person be alive and this person is gone? And my response to her was, maybe we're looking at it wrong. Hmm. People live long lives. Some people live to be 100. Some people live to be 70. That's a long life. But how many people have they impacted? Sometimes it's the quality of life we live and not how long we live. When I listen, and as everyone here is saying the same thing about David, I really hope that I'm impacting lives like that. I don't want to just be 100 years old and haven't touched anybody's life. He has always made a difference. Even in his death, guess what he's doing? He's making a difference because look at the impact. Look at the healing that's coming forth, the doors and the windows of communication that have been opening on this campus, in this neighborhood, all around, even at the hotel. Who would think this person would know him and speak so highly of him? But she said everybody knew him. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. I've said this, they've heard me say this, but I want to say it for the sake of the people that's listening. I want them to know it from God's perspective. David Josiah. David is one of the best remembered kings in all of the Bible. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. If you know DJ, helping homeless people, never about himself, that's exactly how he lived his life. Couldn't have been more properly named. Josiah means God heals, Jehovah heals. Or that healing is coming. Well, from what we're seeing and experiencing, what's going on, some things on campus. Although through his death, healing is now beginning to take place. People are beginning to realize that this can't continue. This can't go on. We don't know everything, but had it been anyone other than David, would we be having this conversation? Would we be experiencing this type of communication? What would be trying as hard as we're trying now to get it right? At 19 years old, look at all the lives that he's impacted. And I'm talking about color. That's what it boils down to. White, Asian, Indian, African-American. It doesn't matter. How many people have done that and they have lived long lives? Healing is coming. I believe that God does things that we don't understand. And I'm not saying God took his life. We know that it's not the point, but he didn't live it in vain. He lived life, but he got it early. He impacted people. He impacted in people. He got it early. Some of us are living, but we're not impacting anything. We're not helping anyone from the time he's been small. Since I've known him, since he's hit this campus, all I keep hearing is who he's helped, what he's done, how he's impacted life. And his mother has done such a tremendous job. I know this family. Sister Chloe, just as loving. Brother Anthony, just as loving. Tremaine, you couldn't ask for more love. I'm just amazed. I'm so full of pride and so just in awe right now. I appreciate you having us. I've never seen anything like this. I've been in ministry a long time. I've never witnessed it to this level. Tremendous. This is just tremendous.
And I can look to Charmaine for that. You know,
yes, absolutely.
It comes from somewhere. So mm-hmm. Josiah was born with a heart, mm-hmm. with a destiny.
That's right.
But it has to be nurtured from somewhere. And I can only look to you and Mama over there, too. I know Mama has a role because I know the power of a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the nurturing and who he is. I'm not going to say was. Mm-hmm. Who he is a direct reflection of you. So I will just say thank you. Thank you for Josiah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
My heart is broken, but just the love and support that give me strength. And one of the brothers from Brothers United said yesterday, you know, you lost your son, but you just gained 15 more sons. And right there, I was just... I was just overjoyed when they said that, you know.
Yes.
Just make me feel really good knowing that he spent time with these young men and they were doing positive things. And, you know, I cannot tell you I'm not sad and broken,
right.
And but just know that I have 15 other children, young men.
We love you. We love you.
Yes, and I love mm-hmm. you guys so very much. And I just appreciate everything that you guys have done for DJ Josiah, like you guys call him. And so, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
So listen, Charmaine, you don't have just 15 sons. You have umpteen cousins and sisters and aunties and uncles. I like to live by the hashtag that was created a few years ago as a result of a tragedy, and that was Humboldt Family.
Oh, yeah.
This is a family. This is truly a family here on this campus and the extending community. It's terrible that it takes tragedy to bring love and unity and togetherness. But as you said, Pastor, you know, that was his place. And his life is still impacting us, even in his in his departure from this earthly place.
Yeah.
He is still impacting. You know, he was working on a plan about homelessness with you. That doesn't have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Elijah, you have a campus and you have an extended community behind you. And what I see as a beautiful thing that can happen is a David Josiah Lawson house to maybe help in preventing homelessness, the homelessness problem that we have here in this community. So I want you to think about that. You know, legacy is everything. You know, just because a person is no longer on this side of the earth walking, that doesn't mean that their name doesn't end, their legacy doesn't end. So let's think about that.
May I say something to that as well? The real tragedy would be if we, or if it's all for nothing. If it's all for nothing. If the follow-up, if the cost, if his life is only going to be a series of emotions and good memories, then it's all for nothing. But if you take that memory and you put the plan together and work that plan and make it a reality, and then when a person said, wow, who is this person? How did you get here? Why are you helping me? I was homeless. Why are you helping me? Let me tell you about a young man, David Josiah Lawson. And now someone else comes in and they pick that mantle up. Because words and lifestyles obviously inspire us. How many of us today are still being inspired by the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? It goes on as long as it's not for nothing. So I hope that the residents and the people here in the community and at the college go beyond and don't let it be for nothing.
Absolutely.
And really cause it to come to pass.
I can tell you that the reason I even brought that up today is because I woke up this morning and I was wondering, on top of everything else, me as well as a few other brothers, we do have to find housing for the upcoming semester. And I was just thinking to myself, well, I don't even know how I'll begin to look for a place right now where my head is at. And that's when I remembered, like, me and Josiah, we're literally getting a house for this reason. We're looking for houses. And so the first thing I did this morning was got dressed, put on my courageous face, and I went down and talked to some faculty members about making sure that this happened, because I told them that we're not in the position to do this right now. But I have a phone full of messages from people saying, anything I can do to help, anything I can do to help. Well, we need this help. We need to make this happen. We need to have the people that are in the positions of power to make this happen step up.
Please.
Absolutely. KT, I want to ask you something. Tell me one about one of those funny stories or happy stories you shared with Charmaine yesterday. That's radio ready.
One of them was always just like him being energetic, just like, I don't know if you can see his sister back there or not, like lettermans he have and stuff like that. Josiah, he was always the one, like, he always say, you know, I'm not the best at what I do, but I make it look the best. And I always did that, too. I was like, I wonder, what does he mean by that? And it was just like, first, because we started off, like, I say our bond got close throughout high school. And at the time, from his freshman to sophomore year, he was playing receiver on the offensive side. So I was a DB. We were supposed to stop them. Tall, skinny kid. And I'm sure, but I've always been more stout than him, so has his little brother Ant. And we always used to make fun of him, but Josiah could not catch But so I was like, you know what? Come on this side. Let's tackle people, you know? And Josiah, he'll always go around flicking people and stuff like that. You know, people tap on people's shoulders and look away. I told her every time, because I was the best, he was, past tense. So every time he did something and we rocked together, everybody always thought I was doing it, but it was really Josiah. So the funny stories about it was always like a football, a basketball, hiding like spikes, anything dealing with athletics.
Madden.
Yeah, it was always DJ up to it. But then, so I would say it was just like throughout high school, he'll always, at our high school at Rancho Verde in Moreno Valley, one of the policies is like if you take equipment from the school or if you don't return a book by graduation week, like the week before graduation, they won't let you walk. So there's a football that the DBs use. So, you know, football is made out of leather. They stripped the laces and the grip off the ball. Josiah used to dunk the ball in cold water, and it hardens up the ball. And he was like, hey, you want to play catch? And he'll throw it as hard as possible. And he used to like to hear the people's fingers click like that and say, ah. So, well, I was like, I'm going to hide the ball. And what I did, I ended up putting it in the locker. And we have see-through lockers. We put locks on it, stuff like that. And he graduated. He's class of 2015. I'm class of 2016. I went, and it was my locker. I'm like, I'm returning, and he graduated already, so we started back up in spring. I'm like, where's that football? Why is my locker stripped? I'm a returning varsity player. And sure enough, I come up here just yesterday, and look, our coach, that's the thing, and I almost didn't graduate because this boy had this ball a whole year of my senior year. So I used to, you know, well, all the DBs, because we count the balls, always seven balls in the bag. And we're like, it's six. And I'm like, man, where's this ball? And everybody used to say, well, it was last year. It was in KT's locker. And I was just thinking, like, where's this ball? And I seen his sister playing with it. It was just the funniest thing. I got mad at her. I'm like, man, Josiah had me running a whole year because he got this football at Humboldt State. A whole year. I almost didn't walk. My mom was fussing at me. And I was like, man, that's Josiah for you.
Where's the ball now?
I still don't know. You gotta ask his sister. They might have it, but
it's in the van.
Yeah.
Well, they gotta have that. I can't have it. I can't see it. I'm gonna think I gotta run once I see that ball. But
so is the ball gonna go back to Palo Rancho Verde?
Rancho Verde.
No, don't give him back that ball.
I saw his football coach a couple of days ago, and I was passing by, and the track team was out there practicing, and I just walked the
Coach Debo.
Yeah. But the football. I mean, I walked the football track, and the coach came up to me, and he was just, you know, just saddened. But I think I'll keep the football.
We won't tell.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing.
Pastor Griggs, tell me one of your funny memories of DJ on the track, or experience.
Yeah, just not. I don't have a lot of funny stories about DJ, because one thing about DJ, whenever he spoke to me, it was just always in a very respectful way. You know, it was always just about. It's like he wanted me to know I'm not wasting time. That's how his approach to me was. And part of that was probably because I was a coach, part of it because I'm probably a pastor, but it was, for him, it was just always, it's like he wanted me to know, I'm not out here messing around, I'm doing something positive, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and it was always progressive. That's what I remember the most, but what always impressed me about him was it seemed like he would find me to tell me, and I thought about it. I said, like, why does he seem to seek me out just to let me know how well he's doing, you know, because I didn't think that he owed that to me, but he always would. But a great smile. I tell you, I wish I had that smile. I wish I had that smile lit up rooms. And I was telling a young lady, if you ever want to know what it is, I hear people say they have it, that DJ definitely had the it. You know, one of his brothers said that he could make a, what did he say? He could be wearing a sweatshirt, and said DJ could wear a suit, and he would look better in a sweatshirt than he would in the suit. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, that's probably right, because he, You ever see a person, no matter what they put on, they look good?
Yeah.
It's like he wake up already coiffed, already just already looking good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
like what you said, KT.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the best, but he's
making us good.
Yeah. So joining us in the studio now is Uncle Matt.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us who you are?
I'm Uncle Matt. I didn't live with DJ and Anthony. We were up north. We live in the Sacramento area, so most of the time we get to see DJ Anthony and the family is when we come down on holidays, Thanksgivings, Christmases and stuff. If I was to say one word that would describe DJ, it'd have to be charisma. He always, I've never seen him down, you know. I wasn't around him all the time, but he had just, I knew him since he was knee high. He had so much energy. It was him and, I just remember him and Anthony. I have an uncanny issue with those two because I always call them the wrong name. And I remember one time they were running through the house, like, you better slow down. DJ, you better, and it's Anthony. He's like, it's Anthony. You know, I'm like, God, I'm never going to get it right.
Yeah.
And I did that today, and it's so funny. DJ used to let me off pretty easy, but Anthony couldn't stand it.
So. Living in the shadow of his brother, I'm
sure.
Yeah. So give us another funny story about your nephew, DJ.
Well, coming down for Christmas and stuff, you know, they'd always, my son is the same age, so they would run around together, and they would find themselves in trouble here and there, right?
Yes.
I had more fun at Papa Gary yelling at him because he seemed like he'd always catch him in trouble and kind of tell us what was going on. But he just full of energy. It's the whole situation is sad,
his smile and his life and his charisma we will remember that, and that will be the joy. That will be the joy. So, Charmaine, I just want to say again, thank you so much for sharing your son with our community. Thank you. And you have a family here.
Thank you guys so very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We are deeply, deeply thankful.
Yes.
Thankful for you guys and all the love and support that you guys are showing us. And just how DJ lived his life, I everything I taught him, he followed, and he remembered when he left home. So, I just thank you guys so much, all his brothers, just everyone, all his friends. Just reach out to me. I'm gonna need you guys' support, phone calls, a text message. You know, just checking on us and see how we're doing. Just like I'm going to be checking on you guys as well, because I know he made an impact on you guys as well. And I truly appreciate everything that you guys have has given and shown. And we're blessed. We're truly blessed. We're truly blessed.
We got you.
Thank
we
you.
Got you.
Thank you.
So this afternoon at 5 p.m. in the Kate Buchanan Room here at Humboldt State University, there will be a celebration honoring Josiah's life, DJ's life, David's life. Pastor Griggs, will you have a role in that?
I have a small role in it. I think I'd be maybe offering a prayer, but I can't tell you how privileged I've been to be just here. We drove up from Sacramento and to just hear everything. I want to also thank you. You are the real deal as far as this. This is a great interview.
Thank you.
Your format, this is so good.
This isn't the norm, this is because of Josiah.
Right. This is awesome. Yeah,
thank you.
And your producer, and I thank her. It's been tremendous. But yeah, I have a small role. Okay. Small role. In,
yeah. Thank you. I want to talk about one last thing to wrap up. I like to use an analogy of an airplane in an emergency situation. If you've been on an airplane, you're told during the emergency, the talk, that in the event of an emergency and there is someone who is weaker than you, you have to remember to place the oxygen mask on yourself, because if your oxygen is depleted, you can't help the weaker person.
Yes.
This is a time for self-care. So I know this is a really tough time, and there's a lack of sleep, and a lack of rest, and a lack of food. But I'm going to say to you, Charmaine, you know, you have two children here. You have Anthony and you have Chloe. Your mom is in the other room. But take care of yourself. You can only be strong for someone else if you're not strong for yourself. And to the BU brothers, mm-hmm. take care of yourself so you can be strong for your brother, for all of your brothers. There are counselors here at the university who are here for you and Josiah's friends and all of those that he touched. So please utilize all of those services. When it gets too hard for your heart, please take care of yourself, KT. And Elijah and Amir and all of the other brothers and Pastor Griggs and Matt, please take care of yourselves so you can take care of each other. Put that oxygen mask on when you need it.
Yeah, so. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Mm. We got you. We got you. I'm looking to you, Charmaine.
I feel the love.
We got you.
I feel it.
So,
I feel it.
So let's close with one thing, just one thing that you want Humboldt family to know about Josiah, that we can do in our lives so his legacy, that his legacy will live on. One thing about him that we can do.
Just how, you know, the Humboldt family just stay encouraged. Stay encouraged, never give up. Reach for those goals and that you have set for yourselves. Accomplish all your goals for Josiah. Accomplish those goals for him. Let everything that you do reflect the friendship, the love that you guys had for each other. And just let him know that even though he's gone in spirit, he's still here within your hearts. Let him see that his life was not taken in vain, but he left behind such a legacy that it's just abundant love that he's left behind, and he just wants you guys to just make sure that you just reach for the stars, just like he was. Reach for it, never give up. Just continue what he was doing. Continue doing those goals he set for himself. Just that's what I would say. Just continue on. Yes. Doesn't stop here. Continue on.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining me today. But Charmaine, again, thank you for sharing David Josiah Lawson with us. KT, you want to say one more thing?
Yeah, one last thing. No, first off, I wanted to mention it, like how she said, but for the Humboldt family, me and him grew up with the rule, the three L's, live, laugh, and learn. That is something a lot of us on campus, especially students, tend not to do. We'll live, but we don't laugh sometimes. Sometimes you have to laugh at situations that even hurt, even sometimes smile. As I said, David Josiah did, he'd laugh and smile even when he had hurt, but he found the best of it. Just like you said, Pastor said, it happens for a reason. And learn. Once you live and you laugh, you will learn because you had the experience from what was going on in life and why it happened. And personally, I would like to say it helped me a lot. It took me to be the bad apple to learn why he was better than me and learn that I can do it, you know. And I laugh at it now. And now as a life experience, we celebrate him. And then to lastly here, another little funny thing, he always wanted to, he had a little small little career if he wanted to do some rapping on the radio. So as us family and friends up here, I just wanted to ask, can we all say, we love you, Josiah.
Absolutely. Live.
Absolutely.
We love you, Josiah. Yep.
I love you, DJ. Love you.
We all
love
do.
Love you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing us to love Josiah.
Thank you for loving him.
Yes.
Thank you for loving him.